This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Cooler temperatures have returned, but things are heating up here on the Matt Rooney Show with the return of producer Dan. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
How's it going, sweetheart?
We're chilling. We're chilling like a villain on penicillin, eating some Nilla wafers.
You were so close to landing that plane.
Yeah.
And then it went right. It went right into the mound. That's what happens when you leave me for more than a week. But the rest of you never desert me here in our little program on 1210 WPHT. Thanks for joining us for another episode. Another very busy week to unpack. We had a little bit of everything this week. We had war, we had peace, Supreme Court drama, more leftist craziness, especially in the Big Apple, which is on the verge of turning into London in all the wrong ways. We're going to do the best we can over the course of 2 hours to, I don't know if I can say make it make sense, but at least emphasize what matters from the week gone by to help you prepare for the week ahead. You know how to listen. On the Odyssey app, the old-fashioned way, on the radio on Saturday nights, or you can check out the Matt Rooney podcast wherever podcasts are found. Make sure you subscribe. We get some sort of credit for that, even though it has not found its way into my paycheck unless Stocker gave Dan a bump and he has decided not to share it with me. Somehow I doubt it.
No, I have not gotten a bump, so that's all on you.
It's all on me. It's all on me, folks, but that's what happens when you're a host. It's all on you, but don't worry. I'm going to make it look easy during the course of our program. We're going to be joined a little bit later by our friend Mark Mitchell, chief pollster from Rasmussen, who's going to help us put our finger on the pulse of where things are in America as we steam towards July 4th and we get through an exceptionally busy weekly news cycle. I know my week has been bonkers, Daniel. It's been a positively bonkers. Bedminster on Friday, more on that later. On Tuesday, I was up in Cranberry, New Jersey for a planning board meeting, which I know what you're saying. It sounds as dull as watching paint dry on a wall, but I was there for a good reason. I was there to rally in support of the Henry family farm. This is Andy's farm. I know you've heard about it on some of our other programs. Rich Zeoli had Andy on this week. I had a chance to talk to this family farmer who's had his land in his family since 1850, 10 years before the Civil War started, for those of you that learned history from the Teachers Union-controlled education establishment. And yet, New Jersey, because of its goofy Mount Laurel doctrine, which says that towns have to build these arbitrary number of affordable housing units, emphasis on affordable because there is no such thing in New Jersey. So I'm doing some air quotes there in addition to the emphasis. Now, Cranberry is in a position where they believe they have to seize this piece of New Jersey history and build a bunch of crap on it. Everyone loses. No one wins. Our history's lost. Cranberry's character is irreparably damaged, and a family is dispossessed of its heritage. It's pathetic. And, you know, I can't help but note, Dan, that Cranberry, New Jersey, the crossroads of the American Revolution, George Washington briefly had his headquarters there.
Is that where cranberry juice comes from?
It is not where cranberry juice comes from, although
that's a damn shame.
New Jersey is famous for its cranberry bogs.
You're also famous for Taylor Hams.
That's true. They do frolic in the wild. They roam in the wild. They range in the wild.
They do.
Yes.
The Taylor Ham does, yes.
Yes, the wild Taylor Ham, not the domesticated Taylor Ham.
Right. Right, yes. you got to get the domestic.
That's right. And they eat cranberries.
Yep.
We are third nationally for producing cranberries. I bet you didn't know that, Dan, but you're glad you do.
I don't know, but did you know that there's like the cranberry like lakes, they have like spiders in them?
The bogs. Oh yeah, well, there's all kinds of stuff in there.
The bogs got the spiders, but now, man, they
know. Now how do you know that they have spiders though? Like how do
you know? I've dabbled once or twice in a little bog.
You've gone bogging?
Yeah, a little bit.
They're called wolf spiders. That's usually what's
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, that's yeah. what it is.
Yeah, and they're terrifying looking. They're hairy.
I've also never been in a bog. I've just heard it from the grapevine.
For so. The grapevine, not through the bog line.
Right, correct.
Yeah, no, we get something like 500,000, 600,000 barrels a year of cranberries out of New Jersey. So if you're drinking cranberry juice anywhere in the country right now, listening to our little show, then you can thank the great state of New Jersey. I think only Wisconsin and Massachusetts produce more cranberries. We also produce leftist nutcases, not on the same scale as New York City, but let's put a pin in that till a little bit later. I think we have some audio from the hearing that I took myself because I was sitting there cheering Andy on, and he went up to the microphone and he said this, and it's hard to argue with. This is cut numero uno.
1234 South River Road, the little property that's been causing so much excitement lately. So I don't want to miss any opportunity to speak against that.
Could you just use the mic?
So I don't want to miss an opportunity to speak against our property being taken by eminent domain. In that regard, I'd like to read a letter that was sent to the town, which I also received a copy of. I've been given permission to read it. From West Haven, Connecticut, quote, I am writing you to please reconsider the use of eminent domain to seize the Henry family farm in Cranberry. It is wrong to seize private property for other than public use. The construction of housing is not public use. Public use would be highway, firehouse, school, or the like. Over the years, and subsequent to the Kelo Supreme Court decision, the definition of public use has been eroded. So now virtually any excuse can be used to take someone's home. This lady lives in West Haven, Connecticut. In 2015, the city started a process to demolish an entire neighborhood of over 50 homes, small businesses, and a church to make way for a shopping center. The neighborhood was not blighted. A consulting firm crafted a municipal development plan, which made the case that this taking was legal under Connecticut law. However, in Connecticut, the law is so poorly written that a case can be made to take property for any reason. Clever wordsmithing does the trick. Today, in 2025, 10 years later, the reference property of 23 acres sits desolate and empty. The shopping center was never built, and ironically, it'll probably revert to housing someday. In New London, Connecticut, the property which was the subject of the Kelo decision by the Supreme Court also stands empty. The Pfizer Corporation, one of the original beneficiaries, moved out after its tax credits expired. Please don't let Cranberry join the ever-growing list of municipalities making these ill-informed and catastrophic decisions which pervert the intent of the law and wind up doing more harm than good. Unquote. And we believe that taking over a farm would just be a catastrophic decision. Putting housing there would essentially create a separate town. I'd call it North Cranberry. We believe there must be other locations in town with willing sellers outside of this warehouse zone. And we have filed a complaint in Superior Court of New Jersey today to stop this effort. Thank you.
That's Andy Henry, everyone, again, speaking at this week's planning board meeting in Cranberry. Unfortunately, the planning board went on to adopt a plan which, if carried forward to its natural conclusion, is going to result in his family losing their beautiful little farm. It's very popular locally, but you heard him. He filed a lawsuit. Brooke Rollins, our great agriculture secretary down in Washington, D.C., is also engaged. She's been following along. She actually wrote to Cranberry this week urging them to not seize this farm and use eminent domain to take it away. Look, obviously, it's a compelling story. The idea of a government picking on a farmer, making a lonely stand in defense of his family legacy. Everyone loves an underdog. Right? I mean, it's Shades of Fields of Dream. Fields of Dreams, right? I mean, that's really what this is. But it goes beyond that. This is judicial overreach at its worst, much like Roe v. Wade was. It is undergirded by this communistic affordable housing policy in New Jersey, which supposes that people don't really have a right to the land they've worked for and they've labored for and they've paid for and they've tilled and they've made their own if the state can come up with any willy-nilly reason to take it away and use it for something that they'd prefer. Because remember, in New Jersey, especially with King Phil still in office until January, Trenton knows how to run your life better than you do. So what I'm trying to say is that this fight for this little farm up in central Jersey, Middlesex County, it's about a whole heck of a lot more than one patch of earth. It's about the larger fight that's playing out in New Jersey and across the country this year to redefine what government is all about. Is government supposed to be the guarantor of our liberties or the enemy of our liberty? Right? Too often it's the enemy of our liberty. We should have leaders that endeavor to protect our God-given rights. We don't get our rights from the government, but you would expect your leaders, you would hope your leaders would be out there banging the drum to defend them. But that's not what we have right now in most places in New Jersey. And I mentioned it before we heard that clip. The irony here, you could cut it with a knife. It was not that far from the Henry Farm in Cranberry back in June 1778, June 26, 1778. So almost just at the anniversary here, George Washington, after leaving Valley Forge, took his army to Cranberry and he met with Colonel Alexander Hamilton and General Lafayette at a homestead in Cranberry. And then they ultimately went on and fought the Battle of Monmouth and worked to turn the tide in the Revolutionary War. So you had these great Americans and their allies, like Lafayette, fighting for freedom. And now, nearly 250 years later, are we acting like we honor their sacrifice? Are we living up to their expectations for what they were trying to build? Not if you were at that Cranberry Planning Board meeting. Like I was, you'd come to the conclusion that we are falling far short. So we're going to keep up the fight. We're going to try to continue to do better, just like we always endeavor to do here on the Matt Rooney Show. As I said, we'll be joined a little bit later in the program by Mark Mitchell, chief pollster from Rasmussen. We'll touch on some of these Supreme Court decisions. We'll talk a little bit about climate change. We have an embarrassment of riches in terms of topics this week, but we'll do our best to cover everything that matters and maybe a couple things that don't, including, I'm assuming we're going to do Twit Talk tonight.
Absolutely.
Are we going to be Twit Talking?
Yeah, except Twit Talk has a... It was a struggle to find stuff the past couple weeks. I don't know what's going on, but
what's going on?
I don't know. Maybe Daddy Trump was like, I don't want much on here, so I was trying to find a lot. It was hard, but I have some that may or may not be up to par, but there's some in here.
It's being overtaken by AI. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, but a lot of AI ones are actually really funny, but I just can't play them because they're just so
naughty.
Yeah.
A little scandalous.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll save that for the after show.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah.
The after show.
Yep. Yeah. The Rooney After Dark.
Yeah. Yeah, we only broadcast that online where you can say all the filthy things you want to say. Mm-hmm. Unlike on these FCC-regulated airwaves.
Yeah, but for our...
Party poopers that they are.
But for Rooney After Dark, you got to go subscribe to our OnlyFans. There's really nothing on it. It's just our podcast.
It's just Dan playing sad, weepy music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people find that erotic. You know, there's a lid for every pot, Dan. Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Remember.
Small fee of like $20, though.
$20. Isn't that a lot for OnlyFans?
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's some people out there who would probably pay it.
I'm thinking we're more of like a 50 cent.
Oh, you. OnlyFans wow. Page. Wow. You're really selling yourself short here. I was going to think you're maybe like $7, but...
$7? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Thanks,
you're
bud.
You're worth more than that.
Thanks, bud. I'll tell you what. I like you better when you're gone, because when you come back, you're nice for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then I'm just...
Oh, Lord. Well, we'll endeavor on here on the Matt Rooney Show, folks. Remember, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You don't want to miss any of it, because you never know. The mood might just strike you during the course of the week, and you say, I need my fix of Matt. Let's throw in a little Dan as well. Mix that on in there. That gives you the opportunity here on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a quick break, play some ads to make some cash, because we're not here for our health. And then we'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Dan, I've got a question for you, bud.
Yeah?
Because you are our, for those who don't know, Dan is our Gen Z rep here on the Matt Rooney Show. He helps us understand what the youngins are thinking and saying and feeling.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's part of your official job description on file with Odyssey Human Resources. I know you don't live in New York.
Right? I do not.
You're a Philly area guy, but do you have any young liberal women friends, right? We're not going to define women here. Because
I know some of them, yes. Why?
Are they obsessed with Zohan, the future mayor of New York City?
I don't think any of them know who they are.
They don't know who the new mayor or incoming mayor of New York City is?
I mean, I don't live in New York, so I don't really care. But
okay, well, I know you don't care.
No.
Because apparently this is a thing. Like, if you live in Brooklyn, the incoming mayor of New York City, and look, some of you are going to get angry at me because you're going to say, oh, this Zohran guy, like, he, you know, he might still lose. Curtis Sliwa could beat him. Maybe, you know, Eric Adams wins as an independent candidate. Let's face it. More likely than not, if you're running as a Democrat in New York City, you win. There's some notable exceptions in recent history, but you have to say that he's the odds-on favorite. Well, apparently young ladies up there are obsessed with Zohran, and you and I have talked about the weirdness of dating in 2025 before on the show. Dan, I've remarked that I'm very glad that I'm off the market, because it sounds like it's miserable, especially if you're a non-socialist male. And I was struck by this account online on X. It got a ton of play, ton of retweets, or whatever we're calling it these days. I think it's up to like 11 million views. This New York male was on an app called Layla or Lila.
Have you ever heard of this? No.
Okay. Yeah, there's so many apps. There's a proliferation of these things. There was like one when I was dating, Match.com.
Oh, it's specifically for New York City.
Yeah, apparently they have ones that are specifically for different areas now.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's an event-based dating app that helps you skip the small talk and get to real-life connections faster. Yeah. Instead of swiping endlessly, you can post or ask to join specific dates. This way you'll meet people with shared interests and start your day with a fun activity already planned. I mean, it's a good concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what the Matt Rooney Show is.
Right.
We just skip through the crap and just get to what's interesting.
Right. It's like we're essentially a dating show, but we're not.
But we're not.
Yeah.
Even though, like AOC, we know you all want to date us.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
Right.
You don't even need to say it. But
that's funny. I'm looking on the website here. One of the questions is Layla safe to use? It says absolutely. Like, it will.
What are they going to say? No.
Yeah, what are they going
to
say?
Prepare to be raped and murdered if you use this app.
Absolutely not. You're going to get mentally deranged people on here. Like, I don't know what they expect.
Yeah, no. It's. I mean, that's nice. It's nice that they're saying that up front. But this guy, and I'm gonna not use names here to protect the not-so-innocent, but he posted a message that he had with a young lady that he was trying to date in New York City. And he said, hey, just confirming, still good for tonight. See you at 8:30 at this restaurant, this watering hole, whatever it is. And she responded, hey, yes, that still works. I did just want to ask one thing to make sure we are on the same page and not waste time. Did you vote for Sauron for mayor? I'm really excited he won. And then he responded with a Resi screenshot canceling his reservation for the two of them. Now, I know you have told me before, young Daniel, that in the dating world, even though you're very happily with Bella at the moment, you've told me before in the dating world that as a conservative male, it's extremely challenging. That a lot of women swipe the wrong way if they don't like your politics, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never personally come into contact with it. Luckily, I was off the market when that whole thing kind of started. But yes, there are people or whatever you want to call them that specifically swipe on you because you have opposing views.
Yeah, it's a thing. And apparently young ladies up there are obsessed with, I think it's Zoran, right? Zoran Mamdani. I've heard it pronounced 15 different ways on 17 different networks or podcasts since on Tuesday he won the Democrat nomination for New York City mayor. This is a guy who, remember, he's being called a socialist, and I think that's his self-described label. But when you start talking about things like government ownership of grocery stores, you're more of a communist.
Why do we want – why is that a thing? What in the right mind is someone like, you know what? You know what we need? Government-owned grocery stores because we don't have enough of those.
I mean, have you been to the Motor Vehicle Agency recently? And you think these people should be in charge of your food?
The DMV? Yeah, they suck ass.
They're terrible.
They're awful.
They're absolutely terrible. Everything government touches, they have the reverse Midas touch. It turns to crapola. But in New York City, this guy ran on government-run grocery stores, free busing, free daycare. He's going to turn the water into wine, and he's going to multiply the loaves. It reminds me of 2008 when Barack Obama, another young, charismatic guy who fit the left's profile of an ideal leader, right, was convincing people he was going to lower the seas. And you had people crying at his rallies saying that they weren't going to have to worry about their mortgages or their electric bills anymore because Barack Obama was going to make it all right. Now, we know things did not turn out that way. And in New York City, look, speaking as a New Jerseyan, the only good news here is that there's zero chance that New Jersey is going to lose any ground in the next census if this guy wins, especially if we elect Jack Cittarelli, the Republican candidate for governor this year, in the Garden State. You're going to have people fleeing across the tunnels, across the bridges to New Jersey to escape the hellscape that is going to become that once great city. He's for defund the police, all the crazy crap. And something really jumped out at me, Dan.
Here's a small list if you...
Yeah, go ahead. Give us the list.
Abolishing the NYPD, abolishing prisons, yep. Abolishing medical bills, abolishing private health insurance, banning all guns, and legalizing sex work. That's just a short list of... Oh, here's more. Safe injection sites, ending cash bail, decriminalizing drug possession, ending sentencing enhancements, and ending all cooperation with ICE.
Yeah, all the things.
That doesn't sound socialist to me.
No, it sounds deranged. It sounds deranged. And yet the Democrat Party, with some notable exceptions...
Oh, here's an even...
They're falling in line behind this guy.
Just in. Rapper 50 Cent. You familiar with 50 Cent?
Oh, I am. I am. The candy shop.
Yeah,
he's going to give you a taste of what I got.
Supposedly offered the dude, however you say his name, $258K to get lost. Yeah.
I'll take $250,000 to get lost.
Is Eric Adams like up? Like, is his time up? Or...
Well, no, he's running as an independent.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
he's running as an independent.
I'm caught up now.
Yep. And then Curtis Sliwa, who's been a figure in New York City for a long time, he won the Republican nomination uncontested. But, you know, I mean, running as a Republican in New York City is like, you know, running as a Catholic in Mecca. Like, it's just like it ain't happening.
It's the same thing as running as a Republican in Philadelphia. especially for the mayoral race that just happened, like, yeah, you're not going to win. Like, you're unopposed, but you're not going to win.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So it's putting the last few New Yorkers left in a little bit of a bind because they're thinking to themselves, well, do we vote for the Sliwa guy or do we make a strategic choice and get behind Eric Adams? Because even though he's not great, he's not insane. Or, again, what I think a lot of people are going to do, they're going to decide to get the hell out of Dodge and they're going to move to New Jersey or they're going to move to Florida. I've already seen reports of Florida real estate agents giving quotes to the media saying that they are licking their chops because they're expecting a boom along the lines of what they saw during COVID when many from blue states decided to escape to the free state of Florida. So great for Florida, but not so great for our general region of the country because some of our major cities continue to make absolutely asinine decisions. Jack Chinarelli, though, who I mentioned a moment ago, the Republican nominee for governor in the Great Garden State this year, he's leaning into what I said. He's inviting sane New Yorkers, those that are left, to escape to Jersey. On Tuesday night, he said over on X, tonight is proof that the modern Democrat Party has lost its mind. To all the residents and business owners of New York City who don't want a socialist to fund the police, anti-Semitic mayor representing them, I encourage you to move to New Jersey. When I win the governorship in 4+ months, we're going to transform NJ into a beacon of common sense, affordability, economic opportunity, and law and order. From his mouth to God's ear, everyone. And this is my favorite part, Daniel. There is also the beginnings of a secession movement for Staten Island to become New Jersey's 22nd county. This is something that's being talked about on social media. Staten Island, of course, the borough of New York City that voted something like 2-1 for Donald Trump. Apparently plenty of people there, and I don't blame them. They don't want to leave their home, but they might be done with this whole New York thing. I say welcome to all of you from Staten Island. There's probably some of you listening to this program who want to join New Jersey. We'd be happy to have you, and you might just push us over the top towards becoming a red state. So if there's a referendum, I will be on your team for that one. Dan will be your campaign manager.
I didn't say all that. Now you just put words in my mouth.
I am. That's the host crazy. Prerogative.
I know nothing about campaign managing.
No, you would do a great job.
Producing a show, maybe, but campaign managing, absolutely not.
It's essentially the same thing. You just enable a loudmouth like me.
I would probably end up putting my emotion and feeling into the actual campaign, and everyone would hate me.
They'd hate you because you actually did your job? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Oh, you silly. You silly little man. You know, if you don't believe Danielle and I about how crazy Zohran is, here's a cut from the man himself. Dan mentioned that he does not want to cooperate with ICE. He is about defunding the New York City Police Department. Listen to what he has to say about violence.
Oftentimes, we've even found as legislators, when we go into these courts, the term violent crime is even used when people are stealing packages. Violent crime is even used when people are accused of burglary and there happens to be a housing unit in that same dwelling. So violence is an artificial construction. And we have to be very clear that what is happening here with these district attorneys, that is violence. That is violence of the highest degree.
Yeah, this is going to end well. Violence is an artificial construct. It is a recipe for turning New York City back into a Batman movie, where the city was in the 70s and 80s before Rudolph Giuliani came along and cleaned up the fish market and put New York City on a path to prosperity. They're going to squander it. They're going to squander it all. And it's, look, you know, I'm being somewhat humorous about it. And I mean, you know, there is a market of competition between the states. They're laboratories of democracy. So to some extent, New York's loss could be the gain of my home of New Jersey. But no one should be happy about this. New York City was a beacon for much of its history of what made America great. I mean, look, it birthed and made our current great commander-in-chief a worldwide celebrity and figure, right? I mean, some of our greatest personalities and leaders have come from New York City. It defined the successes of capitalism, what humans could build if they were allowed to be free to apply their talents and their intelligence to great tasks, whether it's building incredible bridges or massive buildings or corporations, right? Or whatever else that New York has produced over the course of its history. They're going to throw it all away right into the Hudson. And I'm going to hate watching it. You should too.
They're going to throw and they're going to say, kaplooey.
Exactly like that.
Yep.
Exactly like that. That's exactly what the Zohran groupie girls sound like.
I knew it.
And I saw, this is really fascinating, and I was trying to find it, saw it online from a reputable source, and then I wish I had bookmarked it. Someone did a breakdown of the demographics in the New York mayoral election. Black and Hispanic voters went overwhelmingly for Andrew Cuomo, who, while corrupt and kind of a scummy Democrat, again, not completely insane and believes in things like markets, even if he doesn't always admit it, would have been a better option out of a pretty rough crop of options. No, it was young, educated white people that drove Zohran over the top, particularly young white women. Young white women, now the most liberal demographic in the country and the most reliable voters for socialist candidates. The ones who, you know, once again, have the most to lose if New York is turned into a crime-ridden island just festering with a whole lot of criminal illegals and other bad guys that don't have the best intentions for society or for their own communities. They have everything to lose, but yet they continue to vote against their own best interests. Why? Look, there's nothing else to pin it on other than ignorance, right? You've got these young people voting for socialism in a city that was made by people that came here from other countries all around the world to escape those types of systems. Think about that for a second. Many people listening to this, myself included, had family come through New York City, Godfather 2 style, right, from overseas into Ellis Island to escape the type of tyranny that New Yorkers are now voting for willingly. If that doesn't make you want to put your own head through a wall, I don't know what does. But look, I have become a little fatalistic with some of this. I'm still very bullish for the country as a whole, but for some of these blue jurisdictions, these deep blue jurisdictions, places where The View, ABC's The View, actually passes for serious commentary, where there's more genders than sense, they're just going to have to collapse, I guess, before they learn their lesson. You'd like people to learn their lesson before things get that desperate, but it's just not human nature. Well, I don't know what to tell you, Dan. It's sad, but the Matt Rooney Show will lift you up because we still believe in common sense around here on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a quick break, play some ads, and we'll be back with more of our program in a second. Don't move a muscle.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show, folks, as promised. I always keep my word around here. We're joined next by the guest that I teased earlier. He's one of our favorites because every time there is an election coming up down the pike, you know that his polling is not cooked. It's the real thing. He's one of election 2024's most reliable pollsters. He is the chief pollster of Rasmussen, and he joins us now on the Matt Rooney Show, Mark Mitchell. Mark, welcome back.
Yeah, great to be here. What a wild week or two we've had. Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, you're not kidding. War, peace, massive Supreme Court decisions. None of it, though, seems to be impacting Donald Trump in a negative way. Not that I'm saying it should, but his popularity seems to be a constant at the moment. Am I missing something?
No, that's exactly right. You know, 10 years of Teflon Don, every single hoax they've thrown at him and his support has grown more votes than any Republican candidate in history. And everybody but one Democrat with an asterisk. We all know what that asterisk is. Yeah, everybody's actually really happy right now, which is wild because they seem to have tried to throw everybody at this guy or everything. But the name Teflon Don is really right. I mean, April was a little rough with the stock market taking a, you know, 15-20% hit. His numbers kind of got a little volatile, but they weren't exactly bad. And he's been, depending on the week, between net plus 2 and net plus 8 in approval rating, which is pretty great considering that he won the national popular vote with 2 points. So he's won a lot of people over, and Right Direction polling is setting records left and right. We had a majority of Americans for the very first time saying the country was headed in the right direction just a few weeks ago. And I think Right Track was still like 45-46% today, really high by historical standards. So he's just setting records. And it's because voters are finally getting what they wanted.
They're finally getting what they wanted. And I think you touched on it a moment ago. To some degree, the left may have inoculated him. He has had some rough patches, not because I disagree with his policies, but that's just the way the world works. We don't have a perfect world, and the news cycle doesn't always work out for the person in charge. But it just seems like at this point, maybe it's a little bit of the Chicken Little effect. Everything Democrats say about him, we've heard before, and I guess it's having some diminishing return in terms of its value as lines of attack.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, the entire media ecosystem has changed. MSNBC and CNN had really large viewerships and network news back during this sort of like post-COVID mass formation kumbaya era. And I think a lot of that's fallen off. I'm pretty sure that Fox News primetime is doubling CNN and MSNBC combined. And what you also have different is that Twitter is doing a really good job at sort of debunking all of these hoaxes in real time. And so they really kind of have nothing, and you just see wild stuff that absolutely makes no sense whatsoever, like Gavin Newsom out there trying to build the foundation for a nationwide run on what is essentially a 20% position, which is that we shouldn't deport illegal aliens. So really strange time to be a Democrat, but again, you know, they talk about nationwide protests, they try and undermine Trump, they say he had the worst 100-day polling of any president in history or whatever, but the Right Direction number doesn't lie, and his approval rating, I mean, is structurally about 20 points better than Biden's was for most of his term. So Biden was a horrifying president by presidential approval standards, and you didn't hear headlines about that like every week like you do about Trump.
No, you certainly didn't. And we know that politics, it's about how the person in charge is performing, but it's also about a contrast. And Democrats just can't seem to get out of their own damn way. This Zohran Mamdani from New York City, I mean, isn't he a Republican's dream to run against? In my state, your state of New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli, the Republican nominee, he's talked more about Zohran this week than the Democrat, Mikey Sherrill, and I don't blame him.
Well, yeah, I would run on that because so many people in New Jersey work in New York or New York adjacent, and it's going to be a horror show. The amount, the number of things that this guy's talked about, and I don't know if he can actually implement them all, but he's talking about privatizing grocery stores and putting social workers in place of police in high crime areas, and then taxing businesses, like things that are going to be like really horrifying for New York City. I wonder if at some point some of these businesses, these major Fortune 500 headquarters, are finally going to say they've had enough. But yeah, the country inexorably moves rightwards while the left continues to move leftward. It is a quandary.
Now, you're not a demagogue, even though you've said some very pointed things about the polling industry in recent years, commentary that folks like myself love. I mean, I check you and Rich Barris on a daily basis, and it's always entertaining and insightful. You said just a short time ago that the latest Trump approval ratings over in Real Clear Politics are schizophrenic, and they really are. Rasmussen plus 3, Reuters Negative 16. What are we looking at here? Have they not learned their lesson? Is there something we might be missing? Or has it just become a copium industry at this point where, all right, you know, if you go to Reuters, you want a certain worldview, and they're going to reinforce that for you?
Well, I think, I mean, that's copium industry. That's probably a good way to put it. There's a lot of reinforcing going on. I think that most of the reinforcing is probably reinforcing what their bosses want, to be honest with you. These are major corporations that matriculate up into big business interests that are pro-globalist and pro-establishment. I think that's probably really the main concern. But what was wild is that, listen, these pollsters were 7, 8, 9 points to the left of me in September, August, September, and October. But a lot of them moved back right for November. And that was telling to me. And then what happened is, coming out of the gates, a lot of them were pretty close to me as well. I was polling very similar to CNN, NBC, CBS. And then right around the 100-day mark, a lot of them broke left too. And now you're seeing Quinnipiac, Reuters Ipsos, like all these polls printing negative 16, negative 17% numbers for Donald Trump. And my numbers just haven't moved. So it's like, if my numbers haven't moved and I was right in November and these people are shifting around 15, 20 points, there's definitely something wrong with what they're doing. And I guess it comes down to these panels, or at the end of the day, I really don't know, but it's garbage, because 20% swing, we're talking about like 30 million Americans just randomly changing their mind about Donald Trump. Right. And if we've learned anything about Donald Trump, it's that his support is sticky.
And we know that there's a lot of crazy people out there, right? I have some in my family. You probably do too. But there's not that many truly schizophrenic people. They don't wake up one day and say, I hate them. Another day say they love him. Everyone can speak to their own social circles. It's just not how human nature works. So your own personal experience should be able to debunk some of this nonsense.
Well, right. And 10 years of dealing with Trump, I mean, people are kind of used to not sort of like immediately knee-jerk reactioning to like whatever he tweeted recently. I think the media kind of is. But if you were a Trump literalist, you probably went through a pretty big roller coaster over the last 2 weeks. Yet at the end of the day, what he did was he just acted as an intuitive leader and made really the right decisions based on limited information, and wound up doing something really popular, which was essentially taking the nuclear weapon away from Iran, which is an 84% position, without getting entangled in a war or regime change or boots on the ground. And that's not something that could be said for basically Biden, where we still have a very complicated proxy situation with a strategic nuclear adversary.
I thought the moment that sealed the entire Iran affair for a lot of people where Trump is concerned is the F-bomb that he dropped on live TV, which, look, I mean, I was raised a good Catholic boy, folks, right? I still blush sometimes on this FCC-regulated program when I say crap or something like that I'm actually allowed to say. So I get it, but it's so real and it's so raw, and it just reflects the real frustration that so many people have with the world and with how plastic our politicians are. I mean, you tell me if you think I'm barking up the wrong tree. I think it's part of what makes him such a great product.
Yeah, I think this was an existential election. And ultimately, what I'll say is that this is still a very Christian-identifying nation. A lot of people go to church. 72% said yes to the question, is Jesus Christ the Son of God, who was sent to earth to forgive our sins? And yet, at the same time, only 30% trust the federal government. Massive majorities think that we've been turned into a banana republic. 72% are concerned we're living in a police state. 66% think there are the outcome of our elections are affected by cheating. Over 70% are angry at the level of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. And so people are mad, right? And so if a politician comes out and channels that, that's good politics, but also, I mean, he is a man of the people. He's good at branding. He knows this isn't just some like calculated move he's doing, right? I think he really feels the people, and you kind of even see J.D. Vance leaning into it a little bit as well.
And here's hoping other Republicans lean into it. But you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. While Republicans seem to be making some okay moves, depending upon which topic we're talking about, they don't still seem to understand that their brand is way worse than the Orange Man, who many of them spent years vilifying. They have to start catching up if they want to succeed next year, right?
I think so, yeah. Right now, the Republican Party is a party of MAGA. And MAGA right now is whatever Donald Trump says it is. But in a Republican Party without Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure – I mean, I've seen the way these people in Washington, D.C. operates. It's going to be very listless and meaningless party. And maybe it shouldn't be. These are individual representatives that are supposed to be representing their constituencies and maybe not necessarily so much so – concentrated on a major national political ideology. But the problem is the left is and the right isn't. And so we're going to be continually stuck in this situation where the left has organizational asymmetry. They can message better. They can raise money better. They vote better. They do everything better than the right. And without Donald Trump, essentially the Republican Party, I think, is nothing at this point, because it looks like down in Capitol Hill, they're just it's business as usual. It's all, you know, backroom deals about pork and, oh, the rules. We can't do anything because of the rules. Democrats don't care about the rules. They're going to get rid of that filibuster. And Republicans aren't giving any of the voters what they asked for. Like, there should be a steady stream of single-page bills that get pushed through the House right now and then passed through the Senate on with a simple majority. And if you can't do that, well, at least make the Democrats filibuster these very popular things like passing E-Verify, getting paper ballots, getting voter ID. Like, why can't we have that stuff? It's all 70, 80, 90% stuff.
And there's less excuse for cowardice now than there ever was before, because the Trump approach is no longer theoretical, right? We see that smash mouth populist conservatism works, why they're still shying away from it. Again, you'd at least expect that some of these guys could learn how to act in their own best interest, even if they wouldn't do it simply because it's the right thing. Let me ask you one more question, Mark, before I know we have to let you go. Any chance we can get you to poll New Jersey this year?
Oh, I'll be doing it. Absolutely.
Excellent.
I'm going to do it a couple times. Yep. We'll wait a little bit, but in a month or two, we're coming out of the summer. Yep.
Yeah, everybody's at the Jersey Shore right now. We got to wait till they wipe off the beach chairs. Yeah, exactly right. Mark Mitchell,
most of my
everyone.
Media hits have been done with dripping board shorts while I'm on video.
That's the only way to do it. I have a little studio set up down at the beach, and I try to do it from there as often as possible. Could be where the Jersey coast helped save the entire New Jersey state this year, folks. We have a major opportunity to flip the Garden State. I hope that we have Mark Mitchell back to talk about his polling when he does it. The chief pollster of Rasmussen Reports, one of the most accurate guys in the business. Always appreciate you making time for us, sir.
Anytime. Just say when.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Mark Mitchell, everyone, here on the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our second hour in just a moment. You don't want to miss it, so don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Our dose of dose for our bilingual listeners here on the Matt Rooney Show is now.
You said it wrong. Is dos.
What do you mean?
Is dos.
I said it. What do you mean I said it wrong?
You said it the white way.
Dose. I said it the white way?
Dose. It's uno dos.
Uno dos?
Uno dos.
Dos? Like Dos Equis?
Yeah,
dos.
Yes, dos Equis, which means X.
That's why we have producer Dan on the program.
Yeah,
your 1/16th Latino composition helps get me over the hump in these tricky cultural situations.
I know. What would you ever do without me?
I don't know what I would do without you. Probably achieve true happiness.
Okay.
At some point. Oh, you weren't expecting that little slap in the face, were you?
No, that just made me... That just ruined my day.
Pick yourself up, boy.
Pick
yourself
day.
Up. But we're gonna... Don't worry. We're gonna brighten everyone else's day here on our little program. Remember, Saturday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard is when we're on the air on 1210 WPHT. But you can always listen via the Odyssey app. And, of course, via the Matt Rooney Show podcast, the fastest growing podcast at my parents' house. So make sure you subscribe and sign up. We appreciate your support. It's important to say thank you, folks. It's a lost art. Well, Dan, as per usual, right at the start of the second hour, has to make everything about race. You're obsessed. Everything comes back to skin color and ethnicity for you, Daniel.
Yep.
But you're not the only one. Remember Jamal Bowman, the congressman who was accused of pulling the fire alarm?
Yes.
Ahead of a vote. Yeah, and then he lost his seat. He's doing what all losers in American politics do. They have a second act on cable TV. And he was on CNN this week. And it's the ultimate evidence that, if you didn't know it by watching the primary results in New York City, Democrats are just not learning their lessons as they grasp for a way to recover their national position, restore their countrywide appeal. They continue to promote and platform all the wrong people, and ex-Congressman Bowman is among them. Don't believe me? Listen to this beautiful little rant.
You can't be calm about this. I'm a black man in America. The reason why heart disease...
I'm white, I can't comment on
that. Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why heart disease and cancer and obesity and diabetes are bigger in the black community is because of the stress we carry from having to deal with being called the N-word directly or indirectly every day. If...
the guy in the "I'm white, I can't comment on that." That's a very smart. That's the best. Oh, that's great.
Profiles and courage. I knew, you know, when I picked this cut, I said not only is the audience going to love it, but Daniel is going to love this one. It's got everything. It's got the guilty white guy. It's got the crazy ex-congressman saying
I'm a white
that,
man. I can't comment on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean,
that's good.
I am probably about as young as you can get. I'm 40, and I still remember growing up in a time where people said the following: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, I don't want to, you know, overstate the point. I get that some words are certainly worse than others, but we have now migrated into a time where you have a former high elected official on internationally televised cable network telling people that a bad word can cause diabetes. And this is the party of science. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I should, as a card-carrying America First conservative Republican, I should be cheering on this sort of behavior, because the crazier the Democrats get, the more they give Jamal Bowman a platform, the more Zohran is out there in New York City promising everybody free pizza on Friday, free hookers, whatever the heck else is on the list. Oh, you like that one, did you?
I like pizza.
You got a little too excited about that second one for a gentleman that's spoken for. Hope the beautiful Bella's not listening.
I mean, pizza and hookers. What more could a man ask for?
It's the American dream, I guess, a socialist in New York City.
Look, people are coming to America for free pizza and hookers.
Send them to New York. That's what they see when they come in on the boat and they look up and they see the Statue of Liberty. They say, "Mama, mama, free pizza and hookers. The streets are lined with them."
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Democrat Party continues to lose its tether to reality. And some of it's because of just the wackiness. So we've been talking about that a lot on tonight's program. But also, it's not just about that. It's also they've run out of new material, right? It's crazy, but it's also the same old tired narratives, themes, tropes. One of the other members of Congress that makes you want to jump, Pramila Jayapal. She's from Washington State, the loony northwest of our great country. And she has retweeted, reposted, whatever we're calling it these days, a CBS News weather map. Okay? She retweeted this on June 26, which is a week from the 4th of July. Right. So when she tweeted this, we're almost in the 4th of July, the July, the hottest month normally in the country. And she's showing, oh my God, it's 92 in Boston, it's 94 in Tampa, it's 86 in Salt Lake City. This is climate change. That's the only thing she says as a caption to this map. It, last I checked, that's called summer. When you're a week from July, not even a week from July at this point, it should be at least 85 in Albuquerque, which is what it was on the 26th of June. And yet they continue to try to scare you and manipulate you with the same old, sad, sorry, tired crap that didn't work in 2024. And I don't think it's working in 2025. But they're going to try because I guess they think they have to say something. And apparently migrating back to where they were when they were a serious party, when they were led by people like Harry Truman and John F. Kennedy Jr., it's just not something they have any interest in. They're leaning further left, further into nuttiness, further into things that are not working. And they're shocked that young people, by and large, are deserting them. Black men are deserting them. Hispanic families are deserting them. Why wouldn't they? Because they're serving up the same crappy cornflakes, which weren't any good last election. They don't taste any better. They're not any less stale a year later. But look, as I always often say, at least it gives us material for the Matt Rooney Show. There's always plenty to talk about when I get together with my boy, Daniel.
That's me.
That's you.
Yep.
That's you. And you can occasionally learn something on the Matt Rooney Show, especially when Dan shares a little thing we call the fact of the week.
Fact of the week, yay. We're doing another summer-related one. I think the last time I did it, it was summer, but now it's officially summer.
Oh, so, it's summer. It's so hot.
Yeah.
I hate when people complain about heat during the summer.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the I don't – I mean, when you're working in a warehouse for 8 hours a day, it kind of gets hot, but at the – you know.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm like, God, yeah. It's not. It's in the 90s. Why is it so hot? Yeah, it's because it's called like, summer. It's the seasons.
It's like when people complain about being it too cold in the winter. Like, yeah, it's cold, but everyone knows that. Anyway.
Yeah, go join an Eskimo dating app.
Right, they probably have that.
They probably do. Well, we learned that in the first hour.
People are more likely to attend birthday parties in the month of September.
Really?
Yeah. Here's one of the coolest facts about summer. 9 out of 10 birthdays occur in September, with September 9th and 19th as the two most popular days to enter the world. Maybe it's the spiked eggnog or the warm, fuzzy feeling of the holidays, but more people are frisky during December and holiday miracles are conceived. That one also hits home because my birthday is the 12th of September.
Giving you visuals, which you wish you could forget.
Right.
You might need some spiked eggnog.
Right, exactly my point. So yeah. you're more likely to have a birthday party or attend a birthday party in the month of September.
Yeah, your parents were doing more than wrapping presents when they put you to bed on Christmas Eve, kids. I don't know what to tell you.
I remember in school, they would always, at the end of the school year, they would always celebrate the June, July, and like August birthdays. Mm-hmm. But I always got the short end of the stick because my birthday would be like the immediately start of school. You'd be in school for like a week and it's like, oh, my birthday. And you're like, oh, wow, this kid is needy.
We got some other things going on, man.
Yeah.
Why are you making it all about you?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't shock me, though, at least the first part about attending birthdays in September at a higher rate. Because, I mean, in the summer, you're on vacation. Around the holidays, it's kind of difficult. We've got a lot of holiday birthdays in my family and it's challenging. Because the holidays already come with a lot of craziness and a lot of obligations, things that you have to do. So September's not a bad month to be born.
I think September's a good month.
The weather's usually pretty good.
I think September, October, and like before Thanksgiving is usually the weather is great. Anything after December sucks. Or anything after Thanksgiving sucks. And then December, January, February is terrible. And then like the last half of March is getting back up there.
Yeah. Well, we know how you feel about October too, because you little spooky.
Yeah, I am a little spooky.
You love Halloween, horror, all that kind of stuff.
I love Halloween.
You said that as if almost as if you surprised yourself. Like I do love Halloween.
Yeah,
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I do love Halloween. Halloween is my favorite. Yes.
Yes, you do. Yes, that's true. It is.
You Belle love and Halloween. I are already planning our Halloween house or Halloween attraction agenda.
Your Halloween attraction? Are you talking about turning where you live into an attraction, or where you're going to go?
No, about the ones that we're going to go to this year.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you care to share? Is that something that I know we're sitting here a week before 4th of July, so many people are probably not in a Halloweeny mood.
I think the first
maybe there's other spooks like you out there.
The first one we're going to go to is Halls of Horror. That's in Palmerton, so it's up past the Lehigh Valley. They do something called the Blood Experience, which is like an extra like $20, I think. And essentially, it's all hands on deck. You get a white T-shirt that says the Blood Experience, and they just go buck wild. They give you fake blood. They put shaving cream all over you. I got sprinkled with sprinkles. I got made into an ice cream sundae. They did a colonoscopy on me.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're throwing a lot of things out there which need to be unpacked. I heard shaving cream, fake blood, and did I hear colonoscopy?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one you want to explain?
I guess let's go in reverse order.
Yeah. So colonoscopy, it was just like, so each section of the I call them tours, but there's like a different section of each tour. They're a different room, a different theme. Colonoscopy room is obviously a doctor's office. And the doctor is like, I don't know what he said, but essentially it was like, all right, well, who's going to do it? And Bella didn't want to do it. So I was like, F it. I guess I'm doing it. So, yeah, I got bent over and, he performed a fake one.
Oh, it was a fake colonoscopy.
Yeah, it wasn't a real one. No.
I thought this was an actual colonoscopy.
No, it's a fake one. It was a fake one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that was fun, and then I came out.
You're all a strange old man,
all bloody, and all that kind of stuff. It was a great time, though. So that's the first one we're gonna hit.
I wonder what this says about you psychologically. Why that's fun, and I'm actually not trying to judge you here. I'm just curious. Like, what about having blood dumped on you and having somebody pretend to give you a colonoscopy? Do you find enjoyable? Like, why is that entertaining to you? I want to understand.
I don't know. I think it's the fact I don't know why I like it. But also I'm immune to it because I've worked in a haunted attraction for 4 or 5 years. So I'm just immune to it at this point. I just think it's fun. I think it's hilarious. And I just needed something more extreme than what like Pennhurst or Eastern State does because they're fun, but they're just lame to me.
So well, the cool thing about Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia is the building itself. It's not that the haunted house is that fun or crazy or scary. It's just looking down those dark hallways and imagining, hey, you know what? Al Capone was hanging out over there.
Right. But this time, it's not Al Capone. It's people dressed in like bug suits and with fake chainsaws and all this bull.
What's the best haunted attraction you've ever been to?
Best haunted attraction was
the one that just got your little Dan motor running.
Yeah, probably Halls of Horror. That's got to be the best one. That's got to be up there.
Where's that?
Yeah, in Palmerton. That's up in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, that's on Delaware Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a. There's also one up there called the Waldorf Estate. That was, if you ever seen the movie Hell House LLC, that's the house that was featured in it. Apparently that one's really good. So that's one we're going to hit, but, Halls of Horror is great.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff, my friend.
Yeah.
What an interesting little man you are.
Yeah. I'm an interesting little man.
See what he adds to our program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. You get serious political commentary. You also get, pantomime colonoscopies. What more could you want in a podcast or a radio program? But you get two for the price of one here on the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a quick timeout, not for a colonoscopy, but maybe to fill our coffee mugs, and we'll be back with more of our show in just a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Quick auto pen update, folks. It's easy to forget that this was a massive story a couple weeks ago because that's how quickly the news cycle moves. But if you missed it this week, you need to hear about it. This is from the Populist Times. Neera Tanden, Biden's senior advisor and White House staff secretary, admitted during her testimony to the House Oversight hearing on the former president's mental decline to having control of Biden's auto pen. The committee chairman, James Comer, had warned that the committee has identified senior White House officials suspected of wielding the auto pen, likely without Biden's knowledge. As staff secretary, I was responsible for handling the flow of documents to and from the president. I was also authorized to direct that auto pen signatures be affixed to certain categories of documents. There you have it, folks. Continuing on, we had a system for authorizing the use of the auto pen that I inherited from prior administrations. We employed that system throughout my tenure as staff secretary. She admitted during the course of this hearing that she could not confirm, by the way, whether the orders that she referenced came directly from Joe Biden or not. Extremely comforting. Why does this matter? It matters for a few different reasons.
Are you asking me? Because I could probably answer.
Well, no, you go. I mean, it was kind of rhetorical, but go ahead.
This doesn't.
Is a participatory program, Daniel.
It matters because he is very old and a senile old man, and he gets carpal tunnel in his arm when he writes with a pen, so he uses an auto pen. The end.
I don't think you understood the question.
Okay, can you repeat the question and use an
interesting? I think when they gave you that colonoscopy at the Haunted Mansion, they went a little too deep, and they may have actually struck your brain or something.
You know, I haven't feeling a little tingly sensation ever since then, so that's probably what it is.
Yeah, you should get checked out. No, yeah. It matters because for 4 years, especially with the benefit of hindsight and seeing everything that we're currently dealing with domestically and on the foreign policy front, all the many disastrous problems, challenges, deadly traps that have been laid for this country, right? Many of them are a direct result of the fact that we had a president who was probably pooping himself, and they tried to hide it from us. So the American people need to know, in part, so we can recognize what we've emerged from and that we never go down this road again. So hats off to Chairman Comer and the House Republicans. I know House Republicans get a lot of heat. They're not always right, but on this particular front, they're doing the Lord's work, folks, because we need to uncover and make plain for anybody left who's still living under a rock exactly how screwed up things were under the Biden regime or whoever the heck it was that was indeed running the country.
I have an unpopular opinion.
You have an unpopular opinion? You have many unpopular opinions.
Unpopular opinion, kind of controversial, but like that's the point. That's what I'm here for, right?
I was waiting to find out what you were here for. I guess now we know. Well, tell me what this opinion is, and then I'll be the judge about.
Greg doesn't tell me why I'm here either. I just show up.
Does this justify your inclusion on our show?
I think if you are out of office, then everything just doesn't matter. Like Joe Biden's out of office, and they're still uncovering things. It's like, what are they going to do? Nothing. They're not going to go to his house and be like, hey, Big Daddy Joe, you're coming with me. They're like, no, they're just going to let it go. Like no president who has been out of office has ever actually done anything or they have done anything to the president that's been out of office. So as soon as they get out of office, it's just like, who cares? Let them go.
Well, I don't think that anyone has it, even if they want it. I don't think there's much of a realistic expectation out there that Joe Biden's ever going to see the inside of a jail cell. Plenty of people think he deserves it. But again, that's not what it's about. It's about waking people up, right? It's about administering
the red pill in the morning.
To the population.
True. But I don't know. I don't I feel like they spend too much time on past things.
Well, like, I'll say this, and maybe this puts me in partial agreement with you. Republicans in Congress need to spend a hell of a lot more time focusing on the policies that they promised to help the president adopt.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should ideally be able to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, but we know that our politicians rarely demonstrate that they are in fact capable of.
I also believe that there shouldn't be so many people on complete opposite ends. Like, there shouldn't be a complete left and a complete right. I think people, I mean, this is just common sense, but I think people need to work together to actually get stuff done. And nothing's ever going to get done if you have someone saying this on one side, complete one side, and you have someone doing the complete opposite on the other. It's kind of just like, what's the point of having a Congress and a House if nothing's ever going to get done?
Well, it's common sense. Can I challenge you on that, though, for a second here?
Go ahead.
Can I press you?
Yeah.
Not press you like that, you know, fake doctor at the haunted house did.
Right.
Look at New York City.
Right.
Democrats just nominated a socialist, I think properly more closely classified as a communist, who wants to not just defund police, but make everything quote unquote free, abolish prison. He doesn't believe that violence is anything other than a sociological construct. Where is the common ground? Where is the ability to work across the aisle when this is what the Democrat Party is choosing to be? You may think Donald Trump's presentation is outlandish. I know some of you out there in the audience still believe that. Most of us don't agree with you. But his policies, right, objectively closer to the center of American society than anything you're getting out of the Democrat leadership that you watch on cable news or that have the most following, largest followings on social media. So how do you – is that gap bridgeable in 2025, Dan? Is it a divide we want to bridge?
I don't know. I think that – major cities are an outlier because major cities are always going to vote one way no matter what. Philadelphia is always going to go blue. New York's always going to go blue no matter what. People will be like, this guy's good, but they're not going to vote for him. It's just how it is. I mean, how many Republican mayors has New York City had? Like a handful.
Yeah.
So, and I'm looking at it now, the last Republican mayor was Michael Bloomberg, considered technically from like 4 years.
Right, who ultimately ended up as an indie.
Right. And then before that, it was Rudy Giuliani. And then you were on a stunt for Democrats. And then you go all the way back until 1965. And then you're on another stunt for Democrats. And then you're, you know, 1933, you go back to another Republican. So, like, major cities are an outlier because they all vote one way, no matter what it is. You meet Bill de Blasio and offer free burgers to everyone. You know what I mean?
I never got my burger.
No, I don't think a lot of people did. But during COVID, he was chowing down.
Chowing down, chomping away.
Yeah.
Like the Hamburglar.
Yep.
I don't know what the answer is, but you know, this is I think the problem. As our realities grow further apart, the ability to get the consensus that some people think that they want and they value, it's getting harder. I mean, we don't even believe in the same gender science anymore, right? I believe there's two because I know there's two. I'm not insane. I have eyes, right? The other side, they don't even think there are differences between men and women. They think it's all a social construct. But we got a reminder this week that there are differences between men and women. Daniel, Switzerland's women's national soccer team got their keisters handed to them by a team of teenage boys who probably had the time of their life, by the way, playing against these Swiss female athletes. But that's another story for another time. Apparently, this group of, I believe, 14-year-old young men, they defeated the Swiss women 7-1. It was a thrashing. And I guess some were surprised by this, but it's a reminder. It's not about legal equality, folks. It's about, as much as the left tries to rebel against science, there are actual, honest to goodness, biological differences.
7-1
between men and women.
7-1, and it was a U15 boys team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My understanding is that means that everybody on that roster is 14 or younger. I don't know why they call it U15 when it's 14 and younger, but...
It's between, I think, like, I want to say like 12 to 15 is like the thing. It's like what it is.
Okay. All right.
U15 just basically means you have to be born in 2010.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Math, pass it on.
Yeah, and then, you know, 2011 is U14, 2012, 13, and then just keep going up and up and up. And then 2008 and 17. So, I mean, I don't know if that just means that the women's Switzerland team sucks or they were just taking it easy or whatever. I don't know, but...
No, this isn't the first time we've seen a bunch of young guys defeat professional-level female athletes. It's because... Again, men are just, look, it's general, right? But men are generally bigger and stronger than women. It's just, again, physical biology.
Back in 2015, the U.S. women's team lost to a U15 boys team from Dallas.
There you go.
So this is the second time it's happened.
And look, you ladies have something on the rest of us, right? I mean, you can deal with a cold a lot easier than we can.
Carly Lloyd, one of the players for the U.S. national team, said the mid-pubescent teenage boys were bigger, stronger, and faster than the adult professional soccer-playing women.
Yeah.
That's still a U15 team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
And what good do we do for society by perpetuating these lies, which I guess make us feel better because they appease our preferred political worldview, right? When in truth, we should be encouraging people to accept reality and succeed in reality rather than indulge in fantasy. I mean, we're talking a lot about New York City tonight for obvious reasons. You have an entire city of, what are there, 9-10 million people in between the five boroughs, who a majority of them are living in a fantasy world where the gender is fluid and the rules of economics stop at the tunnel. It's just not how the world works, but that's what they've done for themselves. I mean, you talked about how the cities have remained pretty far left, Dan. It's almost kind of like they're trying to create islands of fantasy. Little utopias, which of course they don't end up being utopias. They end up being crime-ridden, full of junkies and homeless people and all the other social ills. But it's what they're attempting to do. They're trying to wall themselves off from reality, from the rest of the planet.
Yeah, major cities are not going anywhere. They're like, oh, we want to change the city. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen because they keep voting for the same crap.
Right.
It keeps failing everywhere.
It's the same thing. They're just saying it in different ways.
That's right. And look, I will give it to this young man, right? Mamdani. I mean, you watch his campaign commercials. They're brilliant. Yeah. He's a very likable guy if you turn your brain off.
Or he's very old to think.
Right. Right, but he's got these folksy videos of him walking on the street, having fun interactions with street vendors. He's got this one video where he's almost quasi-libertarian, where he's talking about how, I think it's like the price of falafel is too high.
Oh,
it should be $8 instead of $10, and he's talking about some of the legislation they could pass in New York City to make it cheaper.
That's what he should be running on.
Yeah. But it's the kind of stuff that connects with people. We spoke to Mark Mitchell from Rasmussen earlier in this program about Donald Trump's appeal, and in that sense, maybe some leftists are learning. But don't forget, it's not just about the presentation. At the end of the day, you also need to produce results. The major reason why Donald Trump is popular at the moment is because there's a sense out there that he's succeeding, because he is. Whether we're talking about the price of eggs, the latest economic numbers, which suggests that the economy is strengthening. His triumph in achieving a ceasefire in the Middle East, right? Peace through strength. Has there ever been a clear textbook example? I don't think so. That's what people are responding to. It's not just how entertaining he is, and he is deeply entertaining. I don't know. I question anyone who can't find humor in Donald Trump, right? I mean, he's just – the guy's a lot of fun. They talk about wanting to have a beer with someone. I'd want to have a beer with Donald Trump over just about any politician. But at the end of the day, there's got to be meat on the bun. And that's what we're getting from this administration. Our lives are getting better because we finally have someone who's fighting for us. Can New York City say the same? I guess we'll find out in just a few short months. Remember, if you haven't done so already, you have to subscribe to the Matt Rooney Show podcast, where you can not only listen to our entire program, but also get select clips from the wonderful interviews, which we do every week on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a couple minutes to stretch our legs, play some ads to make some money, because unlike in New York City, we are still capitalists here on 1210 WPHT. That's how we pay the bills. But don't worry, after you hear from our advertisers, we'll be right back with you.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
I don't know if this is a complaint. It's just a comment. The music on the program has been normal as of late. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm used to weirder, to stranger.
What do you mean normal?
Like just, you know... Normally on the show, you play all kinds of strange emo, death metal, Halloween, whatever the heck you want to call it.
Sure.
Bizarreness.
Sure.
And it hasn't been that yet. On this show or in recent programs. I'm fine with it.
You know.
I just want to know. I'm going to make sure that it's not indicative of something going on.
No, there's really no need for it. I look at my playlist of songs and I'm like, yeah, that's good. And then I just roll with it.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. That's all there is to it?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay. You just come rolling in, wearing your hoodie and your shorts, looking like John Fetterman.
This is true. I do that, don't I?
You do. That's pretty much you. You got better hair.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have hair, so...
He doesn't have hair. No, that's true. Yep. He set the bar low for you.
He did set the bar low.
John Fetterman this week, by the way, you know, it depends on the week. Some weeks he sounds more like a leftist than others. He woke up this week and decided to be a little MAGA because, of course, he's got to get reelected in Pennsylvania, which is purple trending red. This week he announced that, no, he would not vote with many of his fellow Democrats to restrict President Trump's war powers. Cut, Trace.
On the McCain resolution, which will come up tomorrow night,
I'll say this. I love that man, and he's coming in from a very principled side, but I'm going to vote no on that, simply because I would never want to restrict any future president, Republican or Democrat, to do this kind of a military kind of exercise that was very successful.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't compliment John Fetterman as often as certain other members of the conservative media. It's because I've been around the block, folks. I know how this works. I don't believe that at his age people genuinely change. I think that he ran – I don't think. I know he ran as a pretty hard left guy when he first came to the United States Senate. But we've seen plenty of evidence since then that Pennsylvania is changing. So John Fetterman is adjusting. And, I mean, look, give the guy credit. He's doing a heck of a job of convincing everyone that he's a moderate. Just not look a gift horse in the mouth and be happy there's a Democrat out there who, ironically, like John McCain used to do for the other party, gives aid and comfort to the opposition.
I think Fetterman's essentially going to be a one-term person. there's been a lot of criticism of him as well. They're like, oh, what happened to him? Like, this isn't what I vote for, all this kind of stuff. So I think he's pretty much done.
I wonder if he's operating under that assumption or if he has other plans.
I have no idea, but I know I get into a lot of TikTok beefs with people because I think it's fun and I enjoy it. And they're like, well, this isn't what I voted for. And what happened to John Fetterman and all this and all that? And I'm like, the guy's just a common sense guy. Like,
Well, there was a poll out this week that showed Fetterman more popular with Republicans than Democrats. It's a poll that was conducted by Jim Lee. He's a pollster. It had 45% of Republicans approving of Fetterman, while only 40% in the Democrat Party approved of their U.S. senator. It's an overall 41% approval rating, 37% disapprove, which, you know, again, that might tell the story, right? That even though he's not pretty popular with his own party, he's still technically right side up across the Commonwealth. So, you know, one wonders what his plan will be. Is it possible that he could at some point switch parties? Might he run as an independent in Pennsylvania? We'll find out. The future will be full of surprises, folks. We can be sure of at least that much.
He's probably done after this. I don't think he's doing anything else. I mean, he might do like local elections, but I don't think he's doing anything for Pennsylvania anytime soon. I think he's done. That's just me, though. I could be completely wrong, and I hope someone would prove me wrong, but I don't think he's getting anywhere after this.
Maybe you should run for mayor of Philadelphia.
No.
They've done worse.
At least mayor of Pittsburgh.
Why not mayor of Philadelphia? Was that you saying you don't think it's possible or you wouldn't want it?
Can he not run for mayor of Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, he'd have to live there, but why can't he just buy a house in Philadelphia?
Right, but don't you have to live there for X amount of years?
I don't know what the residency requirements are. I don't think they care very much about rules when it comes to elections in the city of brotherly love. I think the last honest vote we got out of Pennsylvania happened on July 2nd, 1776, when they adopted the Declaration of Independence. That was the last vote you could trust.
I mean, this is true.
Saying.
I don't know. Who knows what he'll do? Maybe he'll just go and be part of the Goonies.
Well, that's a valid career choice, I guess. Right? Hey,
you guys.
You know, he says that every time he walks onto the floor of the Senate.
Well, no, he says, good night, everybody. And that's what he says.
Good night, everybody.
I mean, like, if you could say good morning, why can't you say good night?
One wonders.
You know?
We'll ask him if we ever meet him. Maybe we should invite him on the show.
Maybe he's four steps ahead of us, you know?
I wonder if he would come on if we invited him. Should we try that? We've had some heavy hitters on this program. We've had Democrats running for high office. Maybe we should try and see if they'll come on.
I don't see why not. We can reach out, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll give that a shot.
Yeah,
we'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you know, tweet at your boy, Matt Rooney NJ. Let me know whether or not you think we should invite John Fetterman on the Matt Rooney show. Be interested to hear your opinion. But we're in the final segment of the final hour of this week's show. And you know what that means? That means that I abandon all the common sense I've been squawking about for 2 hours. I throw caution to the wind and I turn the show over to that deranged little man that's known as Producer Dan for a segment that, remind me what it's called, Dan?
Hey guys, gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
Against my better judgment. That's the label I affix to this segment.
Yeah, this Twit Talk's probably going to be a little light. Like I said at the start, TikTok's been a little light, and Twitter's been kind of light. So
there's not even any Theo Von.
No, there's not. Normally my feed is just filled with them, but today, not so much.
I thought maybe you were going to have something from his interview with Thomas Massie, but honestly, it was kind of a boring interview.
Yeah,
Thomas Massie loves himself. It could not be more obvious that guy is his own biggest fan.
I'm sure I could scrub through it and have something for next week, but I don't know. I do have our favorite TikTok wizard, though.
Ooh, a TikTok wizard? I love wizards.
Yeah, it's our girl.
Oh, no.
Don't sound so excited. Anyway, she is... There's two of her, by the way. Two clips for her tonight. Here's the first one.
No, I am not crying. I'm just sprinkling my magic onto the world.
She's not crying. She's sprinkling her magic onto the world.
Kind of like what we did to Iran's nuclear sites.
Oh, good segue.
I didn't even know what I was doing there.
I got an Iran one, except this guy is how to pronounce it correctly, not Iran. There's actually another pronunciation, and this is what it is.
It's pronounced Iran, not Iran.
It's pronounced erased.
Ooh, burn.
Burn.
Yeah.
So not Iran, it's erased.
We really are scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, it's even though week. Iran's not really erased, only three sites are, so it's not like it's not a country anymore. this one showed up. This was Pete Hegseth was questioned, I think, by John Cain about the military forts that were reverted back to what they originally were.
Right. They had been named after certain
Correct.
Figures that the left determined were problematic.
Confederate soldiers, I believe. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is about the exchange. This is only part of it, but this is some of it.
Why did you decide that these four patriots were not worthy enough to have their names on a base? Well, Senator, as you know, this was never about the names of the bases they were renamed to.
So you don't challenge all bases
to their original
to the
name
Confederate
we're
names.
Not about erasing
okay,
history.
You wanted to, you don't so, care about their military record. You wanted to restore the Confederate names.
When you called the Gregg family to tell them that you were, their dad's name was no longer going to be on the base, what was their reaction?
Senator, the Army notified them of that.
You didn't call any of the families, and I've spoken with the families, and the families were called by the press. That's how they learned about this. They learned about it from the press. You didn't call the Barfoot family, the Gregg family, and you didn't call the Adams family.
Tim Kaine, what a hero you are.
Worrying about the important things.
He didn't even call them. He just heard about it, you know? He spoke with them, though, but what a hero.
Oh, my God. That guy was almost our vice president, folks.
Yes, he was.
Wrap your mind around that for a second.
It would have been Chillery Clinton, the Pokemon Go gal.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. TMI, sorry.
Disgusting.
That's one of the rooms at your haunted house, isn't it?
Yeah, you're actually in it. Fun fact. This one is a guy who has a pet cat. And he actually finds out the cat is a female.
Oh.
But there's a thing. He thought it was a male the whole time. So, you're kind of in a predicament. So here you go.
Yeah, bud. You been doing good? I know it's been a few months. Well, since you're like 2 weeks old since I've seen you. Oh. You got a tick on here. You got a tick on here. Come on, you can't. Mike, that's a boob. Mike. Mike, that was a whole... Mike, you're a female. Mike, what the heck? I guess I couldn't tell when you were 2 weeks old. I just assumed you were male. You acted like a male. Not that I know the difference, but... Now I do. Mike, you're gonna have Mike babies. Maybe you can birth a mic. I don't know what to call you.
Cat's name is Mike. Found it was a female.
I got to think in 2025, there's a lot of Gen Z dates that end that way.
I don't really know.
I thought you were male. You're a female. Surprise.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway. Also, mind you that all cats have boobs.
Nipples, a lot of guys do, too.
Nipples, as they say. All males and females. Kitties have them.
That should have been your fact of the week right there. That's some hard-hitting stuff.
I could have, but I didn't plan that hard. I didn't do my job correctly. I didn't plan it. Anyway, we're going back to our favorite TikTok wizard who's always in a car. This time they want, she's wanting people to give her a break for this specific reason.
So I posted an Instagram reel today of me dancing around in my bikini, period. Someone commented, wow, is rent that high? Damn. Like, give a diva a break.
Yeah! Give a diva a break, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'd say that to you every week.
You got
to
give a diva a break.
Yes.
We got two more. Can you bear with me on this one?
No, I don't know.
All right, this girl, too bad. This girl is eating a s'more McFlurry, and it didn't go the way that she hopes. She has a subliminal message in it.
Just finished my s'mores McFlurry. God, I wish I had s'more. Why didn't he love me?
What?
Did you get that last part?
I did. What? Okay. That took a dark turn.
One more time for you.
Why didn't he love me?
Yeah.
I don't know. How many s'more McFlurries have you had? That may answer the question.
You know when you're doing your whole lawyering thing, do they ever bring up s'more McFlurries and how the other person didn't give them s'more?
No, but I'm thinking I might bring some to my next lawyer meeting, because that's what we call them, by the way, lawyer meetings.
Lawyer meetings, yeah.
Yeah, because it probably would help things move along a little bit more smoothly.
And the final one we're going to end off is, I have it titled, Should Not Be Doing. That's all it is. So keep that in mind. This is things you should not be doing. And this is what it is. What was that?
That does not sound like the clip.
I have no idea.
That was Dan. That's accidentally one of Dan's home movies.
I have absolutely no idea what happened there.
Was that what was playing when you got the fake colonoscopy?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yes. I got to see if I have the clip anymore. I don't. I didn't save it. So that's my fault. I should have checked it.
What is this? Like 1999 and you like taped over the VCR cassette? How does that even happen?
Let me see if this works. Is this? No. Anyway, the gag was, the guy was like, things I shouldn't be doing, and then pulls out a watermelon and was like, that's it. That's, it's not as fun. You know what? This is over. This is terrible. I'm sorry. Pulls out the show.
Just kill the feed at this point. Put Dan out of his misery. Well, I can say with certainty that I always hate Twit Talk, but that was definitely the worst Twit Talk we've ever had in every way.
What?
It was just horrendous from start to finish.
Does this help?
Can I be honest with you? I just was like moving or grooving a little bit there.
That's what.
That is some catchy stuff.
There you go.
We've been looking for a theme song for the show for 4 years, and we finally found it.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is, to be honest with you.
Well, we're gonna explore that for next week.
We will.
That's your mission, and we know you'll all be here next week for another edition of the Matt Rooney Show. I guess that'll be our 4th of July show. We'll get all patriotic here on 1210 WPHT. So until then, stay safe. Stay sane and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. She's worth it.